The real answer to that would be that I have always written when I got into children's writing, my big audience of one was my daughter. And that's why I wrote the first Yasmin book. Yasmin is based on my daughter.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to It's Personal, a podcast about creators and their stories. All right. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of It's Personal. As always, I always say this, but I'm very, very excited today for my guests. Can you introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Sadia Faruqi. I am a children's author primarily. I write books like the Yasmin series, which is an early reader series that a lot of kids read, and also other books for older kids, like middle grade novels and nonfiction and all that good stuff. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Sadia, you are so masterful at what you do. At what you do, honestly. And I'm not just saying this, and I try to be very honest when I speak to authors. And specifically, I wanted to tell you this because as an elementary teacher who I think early years writing, and mm-hmm. I think that to make it interesting is even more difficult. What you do in regards to like early years, and then you're able to like, I like to say like turn it on even more when you do like middle school, etc., is just like your range is crazy. It's so crazy to me. So I appreciate what you do for us as educators, for authors, for children, for families, etc. But I want to know how. What's the magic?
The magic is that I'm a workaholic. And I would rather, you know, sit in my office and write than go cook dinner. So that's my magic. I think that the real answer to that would be that I have always written when I got into children's writing, my big audience of one was my daughter. And that's why I wrote the first Yasmin book. Yasmin is based on my daughter. And I just kind of always have my own kids in mind. And that's why my books got older. I like to say, obviously not in terms of the books getting older, but the audience or the readership getting older, because as my kids grew older, I just kept them in mind, and whatever they were going through, good and bad and ugly, I wanted to write about that. Firstly, so that they and kids like them could have some kind of, you know, support in what they read and see themselves in books, and secondary for everybody else. And now that my kids are too old to read my books, I just keep that in mind for other children. So I think that's the easy part for me, where I can switch, you know, in a given year, I'm writing all kinds of age groups, and I just think of, you know, my own kids in my mind at that age when I write. So it becomes a little bit easier.
You got range. You got
Thank
a lot
you.
Of range.
I mean, I appreciate that.
It's awesome. And I think it's the part that I love the most is that it's not just range as in like being able to write different age groups. It's like quality. It's like really good quality work as well. Like one thing I love about you as a writer is like you don't hold back on who you are. You're a Pakistan American, and I see that throughout everything that you do, and it's amazing for me to just like be able to look at an author and be like, I know within this book, even if it's new, I haven't known anything about it, that she's going to put her heart and soul in it, and it's going to represent who she is and what she's all about. So I really, really
thank you. And that's important to me. That's kind of my platform. I came into this from the other side, where I was writing for adults, and I was actually doing interfaith work for a long time. And when I got really burned out from that and I switched to writing for children, I carried that over. So a lot of people ask me things like, well, you were doing this very different work and now you switched or changed or forgotten about your original mission. And I don't really think that's true, because the mission is still there. I want to let people know what it's like to be immigrant family, a Muslim family, a family of people who are, you know, seen as outsiders or from somewhere else, but then also show the rich experience of you know, all the communities that I'm a part of, whether they're faith communities or cultural, you know, especially my kids being first generation American. all the challenges, you know, the good and the bad that are part of that. If I want to showcase that, and the diversity of what is, you know, it's not just, we're not a monolith, even within those communities. So, you know, I appreciate you saying that, because that's what I want people to get from my books, that if you pick up a book written by me, know what you're going to get, even though the story is going to be different, that heart of it is going to always be very authentic to who I am.
Totally. Totally. And Sadie, you talk about interfaith, and I feel like I know what that is about for the list, but for the listeners out there, can you just talk a little bit more about what that means? And I think you just shared what it means to you, but definition-wise, what does that mean? Like you say, interfaith.
I don't know if there's an actual definition. I feel like the field has become much more, you know, bigger and broader when I started. So I came here to the U.S. as an immigrant in my early 20s and 2 or 3 years before 9/11. So when the attacks of 9/11 happened, everything changed for everybody, especially the Muslim American community was really, that faced a lot of backlash, sadly. And I wanted to be part of the solution in terms of helping people understand who we were as a community. So I started talking about, you know, my faith and bringing people together from different groups, just to do events and, you know, book clubs and dinners and online things. Online wasn't that big then, but still, just bring people together from different faith communities and talk about our similarities and how we could find common ground and how we could share each other's, you know, community kind of backgrounds without getting into fights and arguments and answering questions about each other that people, the media had kind of viewed for everyone, not just one faith. Mm-hmm. And so I think interfaith for me just means creating a dialogue, creating an understanding between people of different religions or no religion so that we can find some kind of common ground and finding friendship and understanding each other better. The ultimate goal is to find is to realize that we're pretty much the same. You know, we might pray differently or talk in different languages, but we've still got the same problems. You know, if you're a parent and I'm a parent, we can connect over that. And if you're in Texas and it's super hot, you know, that's something we can have a whole conversation about. So that's how we get to know each other, rather than say, you know, what my scripture says this and yours.
I love that. I love that. I love that.
I don't feel like there's an actual, maybe there's an actual definition. I don't like to, you know, I think it's different for different people. And I did that for a very long time. I got burnt out for like a good 15 years. That's all I was doing.
It's a lot of work.
My kids grew up with that. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's heavy, and it's heavy stuff too.
It
right?
is.
Like it's not.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have to get so used I appreciate to people that. Standing up and shouting curses at you and telling you to go back where you came from. And, you know, after a while, I still believe strongly in it, but like, you know, you can't do the same work forever. It can be very mentally exhausting. And I just kind of changed a little bit into writing for kids because I feel like I can still do the same thing. And reach kids who are way more open understanding than adults.
They're the best. They're the best.
They're okay with you being different, whereas, you know, grown-ups
are. I love that. You know, I'm going to use, we teach in Vietnam at the United Nations School, and our third grade team talked specifically about some of the concept that you just talked about. So within some of the units that we've been doing, we noticed that there was like a bit of a gap in regards to how much we talk about religion, but like how our religions are like connected and how we can support each other. So I'm going to use this soundbite actually that you just shared, because I think it's a really good definition of how we can start to think more about the similarities versus the differences that allow us to come together. Because I think that's so important. And when we give that to kids, like you just mentioned, it allows us to grow further and faster, because they are the future and they are the ones that are going to hopefully be more open-minded than you know, some of the adults out there. A lot of the adults out there.
I have so much hope for our youth, because you know they just want to talk through all the bad things and get to the heart of the matter. And hopefully that carries on. And I think that I want to be part of that. I want to be the part of that solution where, you know, our books can provide so much, you know, they grow up reading things like that, which my generation and before that didn't read books, which had that kind of diversity where you could read about a Muslim kid and a Jewish kid and an atheist kid and a kid who's different from, you know, mainstream. So you never had that exposure. I never had that exposure. But these kids do. I think that they're going to be very well equipped to handle a lot that's coming their way.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And Zaddy, I want to talk about this before I won't forget, but I want to talk about because I think it's a good segue. Ali the Great, like, where did that come from? I am like, when I saw that like announcement, I was like, of course she did. Like, of course, there was Yasmin and now there's Ali. Like, of course.
Oh my
so
gosh.
How did that idea start? How are you feeling about it? I don't know the exact date, but I know it's soon. I believe
August
it's soon.
August 1st is when.
Oh my gosh. Very soon.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about it. I want to ask you to tell maybe listeners why they should buy it. But if they don't already know, that's
well,
on them.
If you're a Yasmin fan, you should be reading Ali because Yasmin is in the Ali books and there will be no new Yasmin books. There are 20 Yasmin books in the series now. So she's taking a break. She's very tired from all of her adventures. And this year there will be Ali books, but there are four. Every year, four books come out in that series anyway, in the Yasmin books too. And I think definitely in two of them, maybe three of them, Yasmin is there as the side character.
Wow.
So she's still there. Only it's Ali's story. And she's kind of like, you know, the friend. So Ali is a kind of age group background as Yasmin. He's also Pakistani-American. He's also in second grade. He's in Miss Alex's second grade class, but he's very different from her. As you all know, if you know Yasmin at all, she's a good girl. She's always helpful. She's always kind. She's always trying to do the right thing. And Ali's the kid who's always, you know, making a noise and getting in trouble and trying to do things the fun way rather than the right way. And so I thought this would be a good change. The real reason why the series is even existing is because of my readers. So I noticed the first Yasmin book came out. Ever since then, I have been getting many, many, many requests for quote-unquote boy book. And so I would go places and it was always an adult request. There was never, ever any kid who came to me and said, can you write a book about a boy? But it was always a parent, a teacher, a librarian who would. The event I went to every time I would get an email or a contact thing from my website. Can you write a book? Yes, mean, but for boys. And first, I got a bit annoyed, more than a bit probably. I said, what is this? What is this concept of a boy book? Boys can read Yasmin. She's awesome. Uh-huh. And boys did. I mean, I meet kids a lot. And so many kids told me who are boys that they love Yasmin. I think it was just something in the parents' minds or the teachers' minds. I don't know. But after a while, I kind of had to stop myself from getting that gut reaction and saying, look, if so many people are asking for it, that means there's need and I don't have to like it. FYI, if you don't know, I have a business education background. So
I do know that.
for my MBA. And so I try to think of my work as a business. I'm putting things out. You know, I have to make sure that people want and there's a demand and all that good stuff. And so I said, well, this is classic supply and demand situation. And I can't there and say, no, I don't agree with this. I'm not going to do this. So there's my publisher, who's awesome. Capstone is just, and my editor is just the most amazing people. They heard me and they said, okay, we'll do 1 year of Ali and see what happens. And hopefully all those people who've been sending me messages will now read this book and buy this book. So I'm excited. I think, you know, not a gender issue, but just the fact that he's so different from Yasmin. And I think that he's got his own, you know, there are a lot of kids who want to, you know, do fun stuff and who don't necessarily want to always be awesome and like not awesome, but good. You know, they want to get in a little bit of trouble. So
No, I love that you've taken on that challenge. And I don't understand because I haven't been writing that long. So to get those questions, I do know that feeling in your gut, though, that first reaction that you want to just be like,
yeah,
you don't know me. But I love that you also were able to sit back with it, reflect. And I also love that, like, I did know that you had a bachelor in business. And I love that you also think of your work as business, because I think sometimes, for me at least, who's very new in this author world, you have to be a little bit strategic about what you're doing and what you're putting out there. And I think you're doing a phenomenal job with that. So I'm excited. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm very excited because my kids love Yasmin as well. And Yasmin is one of the books that are, at least for third grade, that we can really start off the year with, because it's about like the stuff that kids are always going through. And then on top, there's so many layers to such a early years book. There's so many layers to it that allow me to touch on so many different things within one book, which I love. And I know Allie will do the same thing. I know.
Well, fingers crossed. It's almost time for him to be out in the world. And I'm excited. I think I was able to take a lot of risks. For example, one of the four stories this year are going to be Ishal Ali and the Eid Party Surprise. The Eid is a Muslim holiday. And that's the first time Yasmin has no religious or very little cultural, but definitely no religious like story. It's all like regular stuff. And I think I've been very cautious with her in terms of, you know, what everyone will like. And so with Ali, I'm taking a bit more risk. We're right off the bat. We're talking about religion, you know, and he's going to the mosque and praying. And that's a different kind of pool. So I feel now I'm in my career able to take a lot more risk. So
no, I love that. I'm hopeful. Yeah, I love that. And I noticed that with the titles as well, like everything Ali the Great. And then after it was very specific. Each one is very specific to you. Very, very specific to you. So I'm excited. I hope the world is, I know the world is excited. The readers will be, you know, they'll be floored by what you're able to do with this new character. And then you have another book coming. I think it's 2024. I think it's a middle grade novel, I think.
I have so many books coming.
Oh my gosh.
Released this year. I think next year is going to be even more. But yeah. This year, the next cool thing, actually before 2024 and 2023 in September, I have my first graphic novel coming out. So I'm really excited about. The art is so phenomenal, which I did not do. Artist Kathleen Khan is amazing. And that's middle grade. So, you know, for a little bit older kids. But and it's just my kind of stuff, things I write about, but also in graphic novel form, which again, another decision. I know that kids are really into that these days. I wanted to be part of that culture and sharing a story in a more visual form. And lots of new books coming out next year as well.
Wow. Again, range. Lots of range. I love it. I love it. I love it.
To keep me from getting bored. I have like a very short attention span. And so it's very hard for me to just do the same thing over and over. So, you know, when I try something new, I have to learn it. Like learning how to write a graphic novel script was super hard. And I probably one of the hardest things I've done. I also had a picture book come out this year, which, you know, people don't realize that it's really hard. I thought that very was difficult. Very hard to do because little space to write something, whole story. So it keeps me on my toes because I'm not stuck with the same thing and get bored with it. And I'm learning new things as well.
Sadia, when you are not head down creating for us teachers and children and parents, what do you like to do outside of the writing? And I always tell authors that, I always say you can't say reading, but you can say reading if you want to. I'll accept reading. But what are things you like to do outside?
A lot of authors do actually love reading. I love reading. I read all the time, you know, okay, if I say I'm not reading, first of all, I don't have a lot of time because when I'm not writing, I'm doing other work-related things. Like I travel a lot, I do a lot of school visits and library visits. And so, you know, when I'm not writing, it's still related to my books, but traveling. But I actually love traveling and sightseeing. So wherever I go, that's kind of like thing that I do where I'll take some time to look around and try, you know, new restaurants and trying to see whatever is the art scene there and things like that. I also love walking, which unfortunately living in Houston, it's like impossible to do because it's so hot most of the year. But, that's one of the kind of things that I like doing. It clears my head and think of new stories while I walk. So, you know.
That's awesome. I appreciate you so much. Where can people find you online, Sadia? Where can they find you online?
Oh, I mean, Twitter was my home, but it seems like Twitter's weird now. So if you're still on Twitter and you can see somebody outside of your own little circle, I'm always there. And Instagram too. So those are my two places. And my name is still named there, Sadia Farooqi. So as long as you spell it correctly, you'll find me. I have a website, you know, it's just a website. So it's got information about my books and things like that, but not really a place to connect. But I love social media. I mean, I love how we get, I've made a lot of really, really close friends with, you know, through social media. So I think that's a great place. And I also do a lot of giveaways of my books on Twitter. So that's always a good place to connect with me.
Awesome. Sadia, I want to thank you. This was so much fun. And I want to send you all the blessings, all the wishes, all the things, because again, I appreciate what you do for us as teachers, as educators, as authors.
Thank you.
You're doing amazing work for us. So I appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad I get the opportunity every single day. I mean, how many people say that they do something that they really love and find meaningful? So, you know, I love having that as my primary goal. And thank you for inviting me, because I had a great time talking with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.